Welcome back to the Crossover Podcast, the show where you get comics, pop culture, and sports, and get ready for sports. That it is week 12 in the National Football League. Happy Thanksgiving to our American brethren down south. I'm your host, as always, Matt Pearson, and joining me today is Bill Needles. How the heck are you, Bill?
I am well, thank you. Ready for some Thanksgiving football.
Hell yeah. And rounding up the trifecta, as always, is Craig Needles. How are you, Craig?
I'm ready for some Thanksgiving football, too. This is one of my favorite weeks of the year for the NFL because you have all these windows for games. You get to pay attention to so much of what's going on in the league.
Oh, yeah, I love it. And you know what? We haven't we've been taking it on the chin a little bit this year. We had some lean weeks there in the early going, but we've been grinding our way back up to a profit. We're almost getting there. I feel like we're going to have a big week, but... Yeah, can I pat myself on the back a little bit for suggesting that Colts Texans money line parlay last week?
Yes.
That just won me a little bit of money.
That
like,
would be good.
That was it just felt like such a trap game for Tennessee and the Colts. I really think they're better, and I'm gonna be on the Colts again this week. And just a little snap preview there. I really think the Colts are still undervalued based on the line I'm staring at right now. Yeah, so let's get into it because, we got Thursday games to talk about. And first off, we start with a banger, you guys. The Chicago Bears head into Detroit to take on the Detroit Lions, the creators of the Thanksgiving Day football marathon. And what do we got here? Dalton, whoever was quarterbacking for the Lions, whose name I can't remember. He's not important enough to remember. Actually, it does look
Tim
like it
Boyle.
Might. Well, Tim Boyle, yeah. TB12, the real TB12.
Jared Goff did some stuff at practice there. They think he might be able to go.
Yeah, it does look like Goff. It does look like Goff's going to go, but I don't know. Let me ask you this question. With the various injuries and whatnot that are keeping people from playing this game, who is the most talented football player that will take the football, that will take the field in this Bears-Lions game?
Oh, that's a fantastic question. Probably Darnell. I was gonna say Darnell Mooney.
Is it DeAndre Swift? Is it honestly DeAndre Swift?
Yes, that is absolutely the answer. Yes.
100%. Yeah, is it Lions second year Ryan's running back DeAndre Swift? Like,
it's Imre Hawkinson. It's one of the two.
Yeah, which is just insane to me. Now, obviously, Khalil Mack's out of this game, and Justin Fields, who looks like he's going to be a banger, is also out of this game. And that's obviously the real tragedy of this game, is that we don't at least get a close-up look at – like, at the very least, we should have gotten a close-up look at Justin Fields in a primetime game. But, doesn't look like that's going to be the case. Gambling-wise, for this game, the Bears open up at -3.5, but some action has come in on the Detroit Lions, and the Bears are currently a -3 on the road. I don't understand money coming in on the Lions, and it's public money, you guys. I'm on the Bears, and they're going to be one of my five. I don't get this whatsoever. The Lions are dreadful.
You may be saying this, Pierce, but to me, if you don't think the Detroit Lions win this football game,
mm-hmm.
you don't think they're winning this season.
I don't. Unless they get, like,
if,
I mean...
If that's how you feel, that's fine. I think that I'd rather have... If you can get the 3.5, like, I know it was there for a bit, depends on which book you're looking at, but if you get the 3.5, don't you want the field, like, more than a field goal in this stupid game?
Yeah, maybe,
but
I mean...
Really, like, I'm giving up 3 points to go bet on Andy Dalton on the road in a short week with a banged up roster. Like, I understand they're playing an awful team. I don't dispute this. I just have a hard time with that.
I mean, did the half point come off when it was announced that most likely it would be Jared Goff? Like, was Jared Goff worth half a point?
I think that might have been what did.
Yeah, is Jared Goff worth enough that they took the hook away on this game? Maybe, I don't know. I'm still on Chicago because for some reason the public is on the Lions. I guess they see that, like, it coming off the Bears having an absolutely, like, just playing a weird game against the Ravens, and the Lions, you know, looked somewhat decent against the Browns on the road, despite the fact that, you know, they had a guy, like, I don't know. If Jared Goff plays that game, do the Lions win it? Maybe. I don't know. That was a weird football game, though. The 13-10 finish.
I will say this. When I saw, you know, when I was signing in, I was, of course, looking at the line, looking at the money lines, things on those lines. I thought, hey, maybe the Detroit money line's kind of good. But no, there's not nearly enough value in it. It's like a plus 125, plus 130, somewhere in the range. Like,
for a team with zero wins on the season, that's...
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's all you're getting to bet on these guys? No, I was going to say, oh, maybe the Detroit money line's a nice play, but it's not. There's not nearly enough value in that. So I take back what I was going to say.
And I don't know if this is an all-time record for opening up, but the over-under is only 41.5, you guys. So they barely, like, reached
Isn't
that.
Is the under the play?
I think so. Like, Dalton versus, like, unless these defenses are just so bad in this game that, like, you know, Swift riffs off the big one, and then the Bears had the one long play to, was it Darryl Mooney who caught that one long, that's like 65-yarder close to the end of the game there, and unless we see some of that, I just, the under is the play to me. DVOA-wise, Chicago 26, Detroit 30, ew. Spread-wise, Lions 6-4. You know, they've been 6-4 for
that's
a team that is
for a team that hasn't won a game.
Right? Winless, like, yeah, winless on the season. They are 6-4.
Double-digit dogs every week, you know. But if you look back on some of their loss, they lost some like last-second games against Minnesota, against Baltimore. Yeah. They had the tie against Pittsburgh, so you can sort of you can tell where the covers came in, right?
Yeah. Bears are 4-6. Billy, where are you on this one? With the Bears currently laying 3 in Detroit.
Yeah, I think I got to go Detroit here. I cannot lay points for Chicago on the road on a short week. It's Detroit here, and try not to look too hard at the teams.
One thing I will say, I was looking at it earlier, and I don't have the number in front of me, unfortunately, but statistically speaking, since like 2003 or something like that, the favorites on Thanksgiving Day have come through quite mightily. This is a public type of day, apparently, which is strange to say because it really doesn't feel that way. I mean, maybe it does for the Lions because the Lions tend to always lose on Thanksgiving Day, and you know the Cowboys have, you know, say what you will, they do all right on Thanksgiving Day for the most part, I think. Speaking of which, let's slide into the Cowboys now, and they are hosting the Los Angeles Raiders. The current line, the line opened up at 7.5 in favor of the Cowboys, and it has stayed that way. It's tough. This is tough for me because I kind of want the Raiders because I'm worried about Dak is likely going to be missing his top two weapons in this game. Cooper and CeeDee Lamb seem to be out. Which means
they think Lamb has a chance to go.
Interesting. Okay.
We're gonna have to wait and see tomorrow morning. They think Lamb has a chance to go.
That would certainly be a boon if Lamb is there. And then Zeke is likely gonna play, but at the very least he's somewhat compromised. Yeah, he's compromised at the little bit for this game.
Here's what I would say though about the Zeke situation. I think Tony Pollard is really, really good.
I too. I've been betting his overs, like his individual overs for a lot of the games, and they've been coming through.
Yeah, I think Tony Pollard is really good. Now, the spot where they will miss Zeke, though, is I think, like, if I were to say that Zeke Elliott is the best pass-blocking running back in the NFL, like, among the starting running backs, like, is that a hot take, or is that just, like, a commonly accepted thing?
I think the latter.
Yeah, so I think he is that, so I think they will miss him if he's not on the field as much, and we'll see how that goes, but yes, it is a banged-up Cowboys team, that is for sure.
Yeah, and it's a true timeshare too with Pollard and Zeke because it's like 65-35 in favor of Zeke, but it's a true timeshare.
Good, like A, Pollard's good, and B, he's shaved some of the tread on Zeke's tires. I think that's a win on both ends.
Absolutely, the Sharps love the Raiders this week, but the Sharps have loved the Raiders the last couple of weeks, and has not worked out for them, obviously.
I think what the Sharps are not factoring in here, or maybe some of them are, I don't know, but I will say this. The Raiders have had this just season from hell with the Gruden situation and the Ruggs situation, and I just think that the wheels are just completely off now. They've been just, like, the final score of the Cincinnati game was flattering for the Raiders, and they got blown out anyway. They just got absolutely just messed up by the Chiefs on Sunday Night Football the week before. I think this has to be Dallas for me just because I do not trust this Raiders team. And I know that I have to give up 7.5 or 7 points, depending on where you make the bet. But the Raiders, I just think the wheels are off. Like, I think this is just going to be a lot of ugly games the rest of the season for them. It just, it looks really bad.
DVOA wise, it's not even close. Dallas 4th, Las Vegas 23. So, ugh. Spread wise, Cowboys 8-2, a robust 8-2 against the spread, while the Raiders are 4-6. So there's an obvious discrepancy there. Billy, what do you say about this one? Dallas Cowboys 7.5. As you're getting the Captain Hook on this one.
Yeah, I like the Raiders here. I think it's too many. I wouldn't put this over a touchdown. I do absolutely love getting that hook. Dallas obviously played pretty poorly last week. I think part of that was missing Cooper, and then they lost Lamb in the process. I don't think they'll be able to move the ball that easily, and if a team is not moving the ball regularly, 8 points becomes a really high line. So I like the Raiders here.
I will say that the other thing to keep an eye on in this game, if you look at the Cowboys' EPA per play, and I don't have it in front of me, and I was about to try to find it, but I can't find it. With Tyron Smith on the field and off the field.
And he's back this week, yeah. Good point, Craig.
Yeah, the differential is massive. The Tyron Smith numbers are fantastic, best offense in the league, and they are very mediocre, if not worse, without him. Tyron Smith is going to play in this game. He does not have an injury designation for this game. So he's going to play. I think that means more time for Dak Prescott in the pocket. I think the Cowboys should be able to move the ball a little bit better, but you're right to be concerned with the lack of potentially both Cooper and Lamb.
The nightcap. The Buffalo Bills head into New Orleans to take on the Saints, and the Bills are laying 6 on the road. This is scary to me because I like the -6, but you know that the public is going to be all over the -6. That said, I did mention earlier that the public lines tend to come through on Thanksgiving, and this of the lines on Thanksgiving, I think this is going to be the most public choice is going to be the Bills -6. Bills have been a little shaky recently. They've been a little shaky. They got it put on them against the Colts there. You can run on this Bills team. So Kamara, obviously, whether or not he's going to play is going to be a large
he's
factor.
He's already been ruled out.
And he's already been ruled out. So with no Kamara.
Ingram is questionable, so he may not.
Wow. Wow. So everything is really pointing to the Bills here. I just their offense has looked rather shaky.
I've got a hot take about this game. I know that it's just based on this on where these two teams play and their home stadiums, but doesn't the fact that this is indoors, in a controlled environment, on a nice fast indoor field, isn't that advantage Buffalo? I know for the last 15 years it's been advantage Saints, but in this game is that not advantage Buffalo?
Well, it's basically the inverse of what we talked about last week, where the Colts were going to cold and possibly snowy. It didn't end up snowy. Buffalo, and we were like, now you think that would favor the Bills, but it doesn't. It favors the Colts, who want to, you know, run around and keep the game in the muck, and that's precisely what happened. So, yeah, I agree with you, Craig, that this probably favors the Bills, and they might be able to get Beasley and Sanders and Diggs running around in this one.
Yeah, I think that's advantage Buffalo.
Yeah. DVOA-wise, this is obviously the best matchup of the night. Buffalo 5th, New Orleans 9th. Although, I don't know how they're going to look. This is a really strange game because it's tough to say for Week 12, but both of these teams borderline need this game. They borderline need this W. Like, the Saints really needed to keep up in the division, and the Bills don't want, like, they fell behind the Patriots last week and do not want that to happen again. Against the spread, Bills 4-5-1, New Orleans Saints 5-5, so nothing to discern there. Both teams pretty much 500 against the spread. Billy, Bills laying 6 in New Orleans. What do you think?
I'm on the Bills. I have been high on them this year, and I did like them last week, though that didn't pan out too well. But I do think they'll recover a bit. Yeah, they absolutely got gashed on the ground last week, but I don't think New Orleans will be able to do that as easily. And I think Buffalo's going to be able to score a few more points. So I like Buffalo here for a number of reasons.
Are we just doing a super chalk Bears, Cowboys, Bills, all favorites moneyline parlay on Sunday?
I think that might be the way to go. did the Bills line open at 4.5? Yeah, it did. Now it's all the way up to 6.5. Jeez.
So that's after Kamara was ruled out, I'm guessing.
That must have been. Yep. Either way, I think that's the way to go. What you said.
All right, let's head over to the Sunday afternoon or Sunday evening. No, sorry. Come down to 3-2-1. Let's head down to the Sunday afternoon games in the early slate. The Falcons are taking on the Jaguars. This will be a barn burner. This line opened up at Falcons -1, and it is currently Falcons -2. So the public is bet a little bit on the Falcons. DVOA wise, apparently Jacksonville's better, 28th, and Atlanta still dead last in DVOA, which is just strange to say. So we have a team that is dead last in DVOA, laying points on the road. Oh, you have to hold your nose and take the Jaguars here. It's not going to be one of my five, but if you're one of the compulsive types who has to gamble, you're holding your nose and you're taking the Jacksonville Jaguars, are you not?
Yeah. I think so.
Yeah,
Atlanta's offense has just looked absolutely like, I don't know who has the least watchable offense in the NFL right now.
Well, if Patterson suits up, the Falcons have Patterson doing. He didn't play last week, and obviously that showed in the Thursday game. Now the Falcons do have 10 days off for this one, so that has to factor in. They should have Patterson back, who theoretically should be able to do some good stuff moving all over the field and playing different positions against this Jaguars defense that isn't very good. But when the Falcons are not moving and getting the ball to Kyle Pitts and Cordarrelle Patterson, they are unwatchable. You're right. Terrible. So anything to add on this one, Craig?
The less we talk about this, the better.
Fair. Bill, anything of significance to add? Do you feel strongly about Atlanta or Jacksonville?
I can't imagine feeling strongly about this game in any imaginable way. So, no, absolutely not.
All right.
Even the players feel strongly about this game.
Yeah, they're on the
fair enough. I was surprised to hear that Scott Hansen didn't have anything to say about this one, Craig, but perhaps it's for this one.
Another one.
Yeah, perhaps it's this game. The New York Jets will be taking on the Houston Texans in this one. This line opened up at Houston -3, and some Jets money has come in because it is Texans -2.5 now. So the Texans aren't even laying the full 3. I like the Texans, and I like the fact that I'm no longer giving up the 3. I don't know what to say. They have an honest-to-goodness decent quarterback. I'm on the Texans. They sneakily might be one of my five. I'm still hammering out the fifth one here. Craig, what do you have to say about this one? Texans -2.5.
Money's coming in on the Jets here because this started as Texans -3. I also like the Texans. Oh, by the way, I talked to Scott Hansen and said to him, Scott Hansen, do not show this game in reference to Chicago and Detroit. And he said, Craig, Red Zone's not on then. And there's no other games. So I will say about this Texans-Jets matchup, Scott Hansen, do not show this game. I like the Texans.
All right, I got one more thing to add on this game before, but I want to hear what Billy has to say. So let me just give you the tale of the tape. DVOA-wise, Houston 29, Jets 31. Woo! Texans 5-5 against the spread. New York Jets a league worst 2-8 against the spread. Billy, Texans land 2.5 at home. What do you think? Short home favorite.
Yeah, I think it's got to be the Texans here. I mean, we saw a little bit of life out of them last week, so there's no reason to think they can't play a decent game against such a terrible team. So give me the Texans.
Before we move on from this game, and why I might suggest that we may have to audible Falcons-Jaguars to the Scott Hansen game, Craig and Bill. I don't see a better team to take in Survivor than the Texans this week. I don't. Do you have a better spot? Like, at first glance, is there a team that you're like, oh my god, let's take that? Like, are we going to try to sneak one past here in week 12 with the Houston Texans looking for their third win? something we thought would have been inconceivable at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, there's not much out there.
Like Cowboys, I guess.
We already used the Cowboys though, in our version. We used them when they beat the Falcons.
Have we used? Oh man.
If that realization is setting in, isn't it, gentlemen?
Still okay. Got this game, though.
Fair enough. All right. We'll see if we want to lock that in later. Maybe we can find another one here. Next up, the Tennessee Titans. Let's get to some real games. The Tennessee Titans are taking on the New England Patriots. Titans coming off a beat down at the hands of the Houston Texans that we mentioned. And the New England Patriots, boy, are they the best team in the AFC again? Blech. I mean, here they are. Patriots laying 6.5 on at home in Foxborough. I kind of want to lay the 6.5. The only hesitation I have is that Vrabel shows up for these matchups, and he knows how to do the Bill Belichick thing just as well as Bill Belichick from what we've seen so far. That said, the Titans are really banged up. Obviously, no Derrick Henry. I don't think Julio Jones is going to play in this game. If A.J. Brown actually plays, he's insanely compromised. And if A.J. Brown suits up, Belichick's just going to take him out of the game because that's going to be the only guy Tannehill can get the ball to. So I don't... This is a bad spot for me. I like the Patriots laying the 6.5 here. Vrabel is literally the only hesitation I have for making this one of my five. Billy, what do you think about this one? Patriots laying 6.5.
Yeah, I don't love it. I feel like it's probably too high. It makes me want to take the Titans. But I've had trouble trusting them this year. I really was high on them at the beginning of the year, but they burned me a few too many times. And New England, as much as I hate them, they are playing well. I think I like the Titans here, but yes, certainly not confident on this one.
New England third in DVOA, Tennessee 18th. Spread wise, Patriots 7-4 against the spread, and the Titans also 7-4, so nothing to discern there. Both very strong teams against the spread. Craig, Patriots laying 6.5.
You know, I just think that there's a big what if with this Patriots team. Like, you look at their number two ranked DVOA on defense, and they got a couple of nice playmaking tight ends, a good running game, and you think to yourself, like, you know, Mac Jones has been okay, but like, imagine if they had, you know, like Tampa Bay's quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
if only they could find a way to get a guy like that. I think, like, this is a stay away from me. I think that if I were going to pick a side, though, I think I would pick the Patriots because of exactly the reason you said. Best case, you would think, for Tennessee is a very, very limited A.J. Brown. And if A.J. is not out there, and Derrick Henry's not out there, then what are we doing on offense if you're that team? What's happening here? So yeah. I think the Patriots win a low-scoring game.
Yeah, I agree. And the spread would agree, or the over-under would agree with you, because it's only 44.5. A lot of low spreads. I don't think we cracked 50 this week. Actually, the only Raiders-Cowboys is the only game with an over-under that has cracked 50. Everything else is mid to low 40s.
Buccaneers and Patriots.
You're right. Bucks-Colts, right? Yeah, yeah. Actually, that's the highest line of the week with it, because they're getting the 52.5, which makes sense. But still, not a lot of games cracking 50. We're hanging out in the low 40s most of this week. So yeah, we all seem to be on the Patriots in that one. Next up, a matchup that I think is somewhat juicy. The Philadelphia Eagles are heading into New York to take on the Football Giants. The Eagles are laying 3.5 on the road. Eagles look pretty decent. They're up to 12th in DVOA. Jalen Hurts been mighty impressive the last few weeks. That said, the Eagles are still 5-6. This is a divisional matchup. This is the Giants at home. It is Michael Strahan Appreciation Day, or some sort of, I think they're retiring Strahan's jersey number or something. I think the Giants get juiced for this matchup. I like the Giants plus the 3.5, and I think this is going to be one of my five. I think the Giants get up for this one, and the Eagles are might be, you know, flying a little too high right now for the amount of talent that is currently on this roster. So I like the Giants to come through and cover the 3.5 and to actually win the game. I like the Giants on the money line this week. Craig, am I insane? What do you think?
A little bit, because the Eagles are going to be one of my five. The Giants 30th in DVOA against the run. Eagles third in DVOA running the ball. I think the Eagles control the clock. I think that even though Jason Garrett doesn't work there anymore, which is probably a good news story.
Oh, that's another thing, Craig. This is the coach fire. This is the crossover podcast special of the coach fire. I knew there was something I forgot in this game. You got to take the team that just fired their coach.
Does the offensive coordinator account for this, though?
I don't know. Well, you, Freddie Kitchens, baby. I'm on the. It only. You know this. This rule only works for 1 week. This rule only works for 1 week. So, like,
I just think that the, like, Hurts and Sanders are going to combine, and maybe a little bit of Boston Scott in there too. They're going to combine for like 248 yards on the ground, and I think they just controlled the ball the whole game and win, much like they did in the first three quarters against New Orleans.
Yeah, I'm just
much defense in the Giants.
I'm just trusting our thing of, like, you gotta take the team the week after they fire the coach, because for whatever reason it comes through more often than not. DVOA wise, I mentioned that the Eagles were 12th, the New York Giants are 25th, so I'm taking a little bit of a risk here. Against the spread, the New York Giants are 5-5, not bad, and the Philadelphia Eagles are 6-5, so two very solid teams against the spread. Billy, tiebreaker, what say you? Eagles laying 3.5 in New York.
Yeah, I like the Giants here.
All right, my man, get on board.
Yeah, I like getting a few points in what I think will be a close game. Philadelphia is doing significantly better than I would have thought, but the Giants, I think they'll be able to keep it within striking distance. So give me the points and give me the Giants.
All right. Moving on, another pretty seemingly very juicy divisional matchup, although we wouldn't have thought this a few weeks ago. Man, the Steelers are just doing this with smoke and mirrors and coming off of a damn entertaining football game on Sunday night. And we did not think that was going to be too good, but here we are. The Steelers head into Cincinnati to take on the Bengals, and the Bengals are laying 4.5. I like the Steelers. Yeah, I don't know. I like the Steelers here. I think that they can muck up this football game and play it in the dirt and in the mud and in the trenches like they like. And it looks like TJ Watt's going to be back for this one. So if he's back, I like the Steelers getting the 4.5. Craig, what say you on this one?
I think it's the Bengals for me. Like, the Steelers are hopeful of getting Watt back, sure. And I know that Fitzpatrick might play because he's been on the COVID list, so that would be good too. I just think that the Bengals' offense is going to be able to do enough. And, like, the Steelers, if you look at that game against the Chargers, the way they scored their points was, you know, the defense creating turnovers and blocking kicks and stuff like that. They needed short fields to score. I just don't know if that offense is good enough for me to want to pick them in this game. These two teams, by the way, decent record, 6-4, 5-4-1, 21st and 22nd, back-to-back in DVOA.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
I like the Bengals, but not a lot. They're not going to go into my five.
Against the spread, the Steelers are 4-6, and the Cincinnati Bengals are 5-5, so nothing to really discern there. The spread records are... There's really only a couple of, like, wild examples. Everybody's in between the, like, 4-7 range for the most part, which, you know,
the
makes sense.
The shocking one is the Dallas Cowboys, the most public of public teams, get 8-2 against the spread.
And the Packers, the second most public of public teams, are 9-2 against the spread. Them two and the Jets being 2-8 against the spread are the big anomalies right now. Billy, what say you? Bengals minus 4.5.
Yeah, I'm on the Steelers here. I think these are both better teams than, I think you said, 20th and 21st in DVOA. I think they're both a bit better than that, but I like this to be a very close game, and I feel like I'm getting a few extra points here with the Steelers. So give me Pittsburgh.
Next up, easily the marquee matchup of the 1 o'clock slate. The number one team, according to DVOA, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, first time this season in the number one slot, I believe, taking on the number eight Indianapolis Colts. And the Bucs are laying 3 on the road. I love the Colts. They are absolutely going to be one of my 5. I'm jumping back on the bandwagon. The Bucs have not, they've been a little bit shaky on the road this year. And I just like the Colts to do more or less a lot of what they did last week. It does look like Vita Vea is going to be back for this one, so that'll be a bit of a boost for the Buccaneers. But I just like the Colts' ability to run the ball. And Carson Wentz, he has been, like, I want to say sneaky good, you know? Like, he's been fine. Like, he's only got 3 interceptions. It's just the 3 interceptions that he's thrown have been so devastatingly bad and awful, and oftentimes with his non-throwing hand, that they're so glaring, right? Like, it's just so weird. But I think this is a great spot to take the Colts. This is a number 8 team in DVOA getting points at home, and the Bucs just simply haven't been good on the road. The Bucs can get got on the road, and they're laying point. Hell, they got by the friggin' football team 2 weeks ago. So I'm on the Colts this week. Billy, what say you on this one? Colts getting 3 at home.
Yeah, I'm kind of liking the Colts here. The Buccaneers haven't been that impressive lately. They've lost 2 of their last 3. It feels like it's been a while since they've played a particularly good football team. I think I like the Colts here. I'm becoming a believer again, so give me the Colts.
All right, I love it. Colts have been better against the spread, 7-4 versus the Bucs, 4-6. The Bucs surprisingly 4-6 against the spread, although they covered that -10 or 11, depending on when you betted last week against the Giants, relatively easily. Craig, who you got?
This is not one that I feel passionately about, but I kind of think I'm leaning Tampa Bay, and here's why. The Colts are a team, like, isn't it once again a situation where, hey, we're going to play this game indoors, no weather, fast track? Like, isn't that advantage Tampa Bay? Tampa Bay is number one in pass DVOA, which is perhaps unsurprising. Tom Brady's having a standard Tom Brady season. Number 20 in pass defense DVOA is the Indianapolis Colts. So that's how you get them, is you chuck it on them. We'll see how that works this week. I'd be leaning Tampa, though, is what I would say to this game.
Interesting. So Billy and I like the Colts. Craig's like the Bucs. We'll have to see how that one is. I really like the Colts here. I think they're going to be one of my 5. Last game of the 1 o'clock slate, the Carolina Panthers head into Miami to take on the Dolphins. Panthers laying 2 on the road. I got nothing here for this one. I have absolutely nothing. Stay away for me. I got no trust here. Cam Newton, the first half, man, he looked good. And then fourth quarter looked a little gassed. The fourth down throw that hit the ground was a little bit, you know, I'm sure a lot of Patriots fans were going like, hey, that's what we saw a lot of last year. Spread wise, the Panthers are 5-6. The Dolphins are 5-1. So there's nothing to grab onto there. I don't have much to say with this one. Billy, do you have a strong opinion on the Panthers laying 2 in Miami?
Certainly not a strong one. I don't care much about either of these teams, but I do think Carolina's probably better, and it's close enough that I like them to have the edge here. So give me Carolina, but no, I'm not passionate about it, that's for sure.
Nice. I like that you took a side instead of me. I was just waffling back and forth. I have no opinion on this game. This is insane. Craig, anything to add on Panthers Dolphins?
Carolina Panthers for me. Like, I feel confident about this. I think that they're better. I think that they're playing a lot better. I think that Newton being there has kind of re-energized things a little bit. And I know that things didn't quite work out at the end of that game against Washington football team. I understand that. But I just think that they'll be okay here. Give me the Panthers. I think that another week with the playbook for Cam, getting used to that offense. I think this is a well-designed offense, I think, so long as Sam Darnold's not the quarterback. So I want Carolina.
Yeah. That Heinicke, man, he's going to have a nice decade plus long career as a backup. That's easily his destiny.
Might be back this week. Is that possible? Get to the Monday night game, but mm-hmm. I understood Fitzpatrick starting that game for Washington. There's a non-zero chance of that.
Interesting. Heading to the 4 o'clock slate, the first up, your boys, Craig, the Denver Broncos they're hosting the Los Angeles Chargers, who are coming in off that thrilling Sunday night victory. Chargers are laying 2.5. This is my lock favorite. Put it in my 5, print it, get it on your tickets everywhere. Favorite bet of the week. And it is your boys, Craig, the Denver Broncos, and Teddy Covers getting points at home. Oh, let's go. Love me the Broncos in this situation. Easily going to be one of my 5. What say you about your boys as the home dogs?
I kind of liked them too. Like they've played the pass really well this year. The trouble is they've been run on in certain situations. So we're going to see how they figure that out. But I think they'll be able to slow the Chargers down here enough that this game's close.
DVOA-wise, the Los Angeles Chargers are sitting at 14th and the Denver Broncos are sitting at 20th. Spread-wise, Broncos 5-5, Chargers 5-5. So not really too much to discern with the stats there. Billy, who you got? Broncos getting 2.5, short home favorite. Or it's a home dog, sorry.
Yeah, I've liked a couple home dogs already. I don't know, I think the Chargers are better, but Teddy is pretty good about keeping it close. You're getting a couple points in a division game. Yeah, I like Denver just situationally here. So give me Denver just for that reason.
Yeah, this is a classic Teddy Bridgewater spot, man. These are the games he lives for. Home dog, divisional matchup. Yeah, off a bye, too. Although the bye numbers have been a little screwy this year. Have you noticed that? Teams coming off a bye have not been doing well, which is unusual for the NFL. Can't seem to explain that. But still, Teddy Covers coming off a bye. Divisional matchup. Chargers on a short-ish week because they played in the Sunday nighter. Heading 2 Mile High. It's just, juicy spot to take the Denver Broncos. Who you know, and you know the public's going to look at that short line and be like, I'm only laying 2 with Teddy, with Herbert and the Chargers against the Broncos who suck. Then, yeah. Oh, love the Broncos here. Next up, Bill, your boys, the Minnesota Vikings, coming off it was good. It was a good game, but when did you get nervous? You had to be nervous at some point in that one, right?
You know what? Anytime anyone in Minnesota lines up for a kick, I'm nervous. That's but that was a good game, and it's always good against the team that you really want to beat, right?
Yeah, I mean, I had the Vikings, obviously, as one of my 5 last week, and when he threw that pick that didn't end up being a pick, I was like, you gotta be fucking kidding me, I can't. And of course, my Packers hatred kicked in, too, where I'm like, you telling me Aaron Rodgers is gonna get a fucking W here after, like, oh, God, it was so bad. The Vikings head into San Francisco to take on the Niners, and your boys are 3-point dogs. Niners getting the 3-point home bump. They're saying these two teams are relatively equal. Billy, what say you?
I think Minnesota's better, which is why I like Minnesota here. I mean, they're certainly capable of disappointing me. We've seen it before. But I think they're putting these two teams at even their, I believe, the exact same record. But Minnesota's a better team, and they easily could be higher than 5-5. So I like Minnesota here.
This is a sneaky good game. This is a very sneaky good game because DVOA-wise, San Francisco's 7th. Minnesota is 11th. Both of these teams are 5-5. Craig, this is a borderline loser leaves town match, is it not?
Yeah, the only thing that would hesitate me from saying that is A, the extra game this season, and B, there are going to be some not great records that make the playoffs in the NFC this season, is what I would say. I will take the Vikings, though. I think that they are the better football team here, than the Vikings on the road.
Yeah, I think so, too. It's just, Kirk Cousins has had some sneaky... I think if his name wasn't Kirk Cousins, we'd be talking about him as, you know, his name might be in the MVP conversation. But also the wins just aren't there, I think, for the MVP conversation as well.
Like, no matter who the quarterback is, if you're 5-5, you're not going to be in that conversation.
Yeah, but yeah, let's say two of the three games, three of the five losses are a little bit, you know, could have been wins. Let's give them two of those and say that they're 7-3. I mean, maybe there's a little Kirk Cousins buzz, but also the anti-vaxxer thing is probably killing him a little bit too. But man, he's put up numbers despite the fact it hasn't looked pretty.
Who is the MVP favorite right now?
I know he hasn't played in a few weeks, but for me, it's still Kyler Murray. I mean, Cliff Kingsbury is, and I can't believe these words are coming out of. I can't believe these words are coming out of my mouth. But Cliff Kingsbury, is he not Coach of the Year right now?
He definitely is Coach of the Year. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wouldn't the MVP, if we were voting today, be that guy who's won this award a whole lot of times before, plays quarterback for Tampa Bay?
It might be. I mean, it's him. Lamar's got a chance to come back as well. Lamar's name is in there. I think if Kyler Murray comes back and starts ripping it again, and he's on bye week this
week. If he misses three games, though,
it's I don't know. Like I'm saying, he can't be out of the conversation. I don't think it'll happen, but Jonathan Taylor should probably be part of this conversation a little bit too in the non-quarterback. Yeah. They have to have a like. They really need to abolish the MVP.
They need to have Offensive Player of the Year be an award that's not for quarterbacks.
Yeah, they just need to have a Best Quarterback Award or something, and then, yeah. I don't...
Offensive Player of the Year award that a quarterback can't win.
Yeah, they really need to do that, because it's just getting ridiculous with, like, because, like, who had a... like?
I know it's coming off a bad week, but I think there's a Dak Prescott case to be made.
Yeah, true. Dak Prescott is in there. Lamar's in there. I mean, Matt Stafford is probably fringe. Aaron Rodgers is there too.
If Stafford gets a win this week, I think you got to think about it.
Yeah, and
he's had two rough games in a row though.
Stafford. Yeah. Stafford needs to make a statement this week for sure. Well, let's get into that game, because that's the last game of the 4 o'clock slate. Here is the Los Angeles Rams are heading into Green Bay to take on the Packers. And Aaron Rodgers and his COVID toe or busted toe or whatever. He's got a toe that is not doing well. And the Rams are laying one, which I thought was strange. The Rams are coming off a bye week. I mentioned the bye week teams haven't been great, but that's a full week that they've now had to acclimate Odell Beckham to their system, who they now need because Robert Woods is out for the season. They still have the best pass catcher in the league right now in Cooper Kupp. Matt Stafford has had a couple rough weeks, as Craig mentioned, but can he bounce back here? He's been okay in Lambeau when he was a Lion. Here he is going into Lambeau with an actual team, and he's laying one. Billy, what do you say about this with the Rams heading into Green Bay?
Yeah, I think the Rams are better. I think there's more skill there than Green Bay. I might be biased here, but I think Green Bay is not as good as 8-3. I think the Rams will be able to move the ball with more efficiency. I think the Rams will be able to control the clock a little bit better. I like the Rams here, going into Lambeau and getting a win.
DVOA-wise, Rams have a slight edge. They are 6th. Green Bay is 13th. So the DVOA overall would agree with you that the 8-3 record might be a little bit. Although they've had some injuries in some key places, and Aaron Rodgers has been so good, he's managed to pull a few games out of his ass and nearly pulled that game against your Vikings out of his ass last week. Against the spread, the Green Bay Packers, we mentioned earlier, they're best right now against the league, best in the league against the spread right now, 9-2. And the Los Angeles Rams are 4-6, so maybe that might be all we need to tell us to say that the best team against the spread is getting a point at home. Craig, what say you?
I want the Rams.
Woo!
The Rams are better. McVay's coming off the bye. I think they'll have some new interesting stuff here ready to go. The Packers offense, they look better against Minnesota. Obviously, they got some big plays. But they still have not been consistent for the last little while here. I want the Rams. I think the Rams win this game.
The Hey, I man, McVay has got to have been cultivating this son of a bitch for the last 2 weeks, right? He's got his team coming off a couple of rough performances into Green Bay against a team that there's a world where this is the NFC Championship game, and he might need this game if he wants the NFC Championship game to be not in a place that could be freezing cold in the middle of January. So this is a big game, you guys. This is a very big game. And because like this, yeah, this could this game could theoretically determine the location of a playoff game between these two teams. And yeah, because if the Rams manage to go into Green Bay and get a W, not only can they prove that they can do that, because they might need to be able to do that in the playoffs, but they also tie up these two records close to near the top of the NFC. It's a big one. This is a big one, you guys. I think I'm with you as well. Not enough to make it one of my five, but I think I'm on the Rams with you guys too. Although, man, laying the point on the road is that's scary. But the Rodgers toe thing, I'm curious to see how much that's going to affect him in this game, because it certainly didn't look like it affected him last week. Next up, the Sunday night game, and a pretty good one if the quarterbacks are even remotely healthy, which there is a bit of an issue. The Browns are playing the Ravens. Lamar Jackson sounds like he's going to go. He was sick last week with a non-COVID illness, something to do with his chest, which is just, you know, crazy. I hope he feels better, but he's going to come into this game somewhat compromised. And Baker Mayfield, we know, is absolutely compromised. And he, unfortunately, has cost himself a lot of money this offseason.
Yep.
Trying to play through this damn shoulder injury, which...
Yep, I couldn't agree more. That's absolutely the case.
Now, that said, the most likely scenario is the Browns are just going to... the Browns and him are going to re-up for the 1 year option, right? Like, that, to me, seems like the most sensible thing, unless... I don't know, it's like, would a Russell Wilson be available for a Cleveland Browns team, you know? Something to think about.
I think that's a conversation to be had. Is an Aaron Rodgers available for you?
Yeah, is an Aaron Rodgers available for the Browns? Absolutely. This is the Browns. They're going to have a little sit down in the offseason and decide what they got to do with the quarterback position. The Browns are at an impasse here. They're at a very big impasse this offseason. We'll see what happens. But we're not talking about that yet. Let's talk about this game. The Ravens, -3.5, getting the 3.5-point hook at home. Baker Mayfield coming to town. Billy, how do you feel about this? Ravens laying 3.5.
I think I like Cleveland here. I think this game is going to be all on the ground. I think we're going to see a lot of rushing potentially by both quarterbacks and running backs. And when it's going to be that close, I think it's going to get separated by very few. So give me the points. Give me Cleveland.
Ravens 4-6, Browns 5-6 against the spread. So nothing to discern there. Craig, who you got in this one?
Browns. I think they will be able to effectively run the ball against this Baltimore defense, which this is not your older brother's Baltimore defense. Baltimore defense is not one of the better units in the league. They're currently sitting at 27th in DVOA, which seems unreal for a Baltimore Raven franchise that we're used to that number being far, far, far lower than 27. So I'm going to take Cleveland this game. I think they're better.
DVOA-wise, it's pretty close. Baltimore's 15th and Cleveland's 17th, so there's not really much of an edge there. To me, this is just whose quarterback is going to come in less injured in this game. I think whichever team has the less injured quarterback in this football game wins. I know that's not brilliant analysis, but if Lamar is...
Lamar feels 120%.
If he feels... Well, and we all know athletes have never lied whatsoever about their... about how they feel going into a game. I mean, I hope he is, because I love watching that man play football. But, it's a stay away for me, because there's just too many variables as far as the quarterback play. I think I would want Baltimore. The half-point hook is scaring me a little bit, though, because the Ravens tend to... They don't play blowout games for the most part. They play super close, tight games. And this game reeks of overtime to me and a Justin Tucker field goal. So I don't like laying the 3.5. So that said, I might be with you guys on the Cleveland Browns. Last game, Monday nighter, could be a bit of a dud, but we'll see. The Seattle Seahawks are heading into Washington to take on the football team. Football team coming off a big win. Actually, a big couple of wins. Football team got a little looking to put a little winning streak together here. They are laying one at home, and I could not get it. Certainly looks like Tyler Heinicke is going to start this game. I haven't heard, but can't get anything.
There was a report on Fitzpatrick this week. They're like, hey, what's going on with this? But now the more recent report is, I don't think Ryan's coming back. So I think they may have given it a go, and then I think he's just going to be shut down, which is too bad.
Well, they had the Heinicke graphic ready there with the where he still had the Band-Aid on his forehead. I thought that was like someone couldn't have photoshopped out the Band-Aid off of Heinicke's head for the promo for next week. Like, what are we doing here, guys? It doesn't have to be this mean, you know? I know he's Tyler Heinicke, but you wouldn't do that to Brady or any of the other guys. That's a shame. Russ has looked incredibad the last two games. He is playing like a man who's got a bunch of screws in his thumb. So it is what it is. Football team land one in this one, Billy. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm on the football team here. I feel like they've been reliably mediocre. I think the offense has been gaining, if anything, in the last several weeks. And Seattle has obviously had their struggles. So I like Washington here at home.
Seahawks 5-5 against the spread. Washington football team, a surprising 3-7, but they've covered the last 2 weeks, I believe. So they're on a little covering winning streak, trying to get back to 500 there. Any strong opinions on this one, Craig? Football team laying one?
I think Seattle, I think Russell figures it out. I just have a feeling that they're just like that. Washington football team defense has not been good for most of the year. I just think that they this is a get-right game for the Seattle offense.
If it continues this way, the Seahawks might be the 2022 Seahawks. There's a strong chance that they have not Pete Carroll with a headset on and not Russell Wilson with a helmet on in week one in September of next year.
I would say that's more likely than not at this point, isn't it?
Yeah, and which is weird to think about.
Yeah, it is weird to think about, but I think that the Russell thing is going to be over, and is almost over this past offseason. It'll be over now, and there are some teams that are going to be looking for a starting quarterback that have sort of put the pieces surrounding that position in place and could be ready to go for that. The New York Giants, definitely one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say the Denver Broncos. Cleveland hypothetically could be one too, but Denver signed Tim Patrick and Cortland Sutton to extensions this week. They've got Jerry Jeudy locked up, so I think that if they're going around recruiting quarterback and saying, Jerry Jeudy, Cortland Sutton, Tim Patrick, what do you think? Like, that's appealing, right? So
Green Bay will be looking for a quarterback, and they've got a solid team.
Yeah, well, yes, they do. I think that they isn't. The way that Brian Gutekunst plays is out, though, is if Aaron goes and Jordan Love is the quarterback, even though
it's
bad in Kansas City. But like, I think you have to give him a chance. Like, you invested a first round pick in the guy. You have to do like maybe you sign the veteran backup, but I think Jordan Love gets a chance.
Yeah, you're right. They did spend the first. Ooh, doggy, who did that first game? Was that?
That was bad. Ooh. That was incredibly ugly. If I were a Packers fan, I'd have concerns for sure.
Mm. All right, so that is it for Week 12 in the Thanksgiving Day week. All that's left to do is decide a survivor and do our weekly fives. Bill, you and I tied last week with winning records, which is great, but I kicked it off last week, so why don't you kick it off for Week 12?
I will do that. I am taking the Raiders, the Bills, the Rams, the Vikings, and the Washington football team.
Ooh. Oh, no, they are minus one, not plus one. Minus one. all right, I am going to take the Chicago Bears. I know that some people find the what you would call the emotional hedge to be a vile and... reprehensible act, but you know what? The Detroit Lions have brought me nothing but pain and misery, and quite frankly, I am only loyal to my wallet and not to my team. So I am taking the Chicago Bears and laying the 3. I'm absolutely believing in the fired coached movement that we like on the crossover podcast here, and I'm taking the New York Football Giants plus the 3.5. I'm taking the Colts against the Bucks. My favorite bet of the week is Denver plus the 2.5. And I was having a little bit of trouble with this fifth one, and I think I'm going to do it, you guys. I think I'm going to lay the 2.5 with the Houston Texans. They have the only talented player on the field in that game, and it is their quarterback. So here we go. Yeah, I'm picking the Houston Texans to win 2 games in a row in the year of our Lord 2021. So call me crazy. So Bears, Giants, Colts, Broncos, Texans. Craig, take us home for week 12.
I am going to give you Cowboys. I am going to say Philadelphia.
Fading Eagles. Bill. Ooh, and now you're fading me.
Yep.
Yeah, that's right. Yep. Carolina Panthers. I'm going to take the Vikings and the Rams.
All right, so you're joining Bill on a couple of those. So I like that. Survivor pool, you guys. Are we doing it? Are we doing it?
I've looked like 4 times already, and I still can't find anything. We took Denver once already, didn't we?
Yeah, Denver. Denver's done otherwise. We took Denver in like week 3 when they shut out the Jets, so.
Yeah.
We've had some not sweats, which has been, that's the sign of a good one. I say we do it. Let's try. I mean, we technically were eliminated in week 10 anyway, so obviously that gives us a little bit more freedom. Maybe we'd be a little bit more discerning if we weren't already eliminated, but I think this is the correct move where we try to sneak one past here with the Houston Texans, which is nuts.
I think it's the way to go.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. And if we get knocked out for a second time, whatever, it's not going to matter because we're already out anyway, but that's our official recommendation, is to nut up. You put your what have you on the table and put the Houston Texans in your survivor pool. Because that's at a certain point, you have to take a big swing like this. And this is a big swing to win your survivor pool if you're still alive. So, yeah, that's it. Crossover Podcast available at thecrossoverpodcast.com, facebook.com/crossoverpodcast, and iTunes. Please rate and subscribe. 5 stars only. We're also on Google Play, Spotify, and Stitcher. So leave us a review on any of those or any of your favorite podcatchers that we happen to have. And as always, you do not have to listen, but please download the Crossover Podcast. That'll be it for this week. Actually, maybe not. I might try to sneak in another podcast, but we'll see what happens. I got kind of a busy weekend. But there are some stuff I would like to talk about on the other side. I just watched that Cowboy Bebop live-action remake, and the Hawkeye show started today. So I got to go. I'm actually going to put this pod on the internet and then go watch those two. So, that is it. Craig, Bill, as always, pleasure doing this with you guys, and we'll talk to you next week on the Crossover Podcast.